interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy Thursday to you. And it is a Thursday, February 7 edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports, live from the Taproom River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love here, thrilled to be back. Actually, we just had signing day. Hashtag blessed to be back here at the Tap Room. The famous Clint D inside the 237 Roof Studios. And we are ready to set sail on the full three-hour tour. And as you'd imagine, great guests, great topics. I'll lead off with my thoughts on LSU basketball, the Leave It Late kids, why there's good and bad to that. But there's nothing wrong with 8-1 in SEC play. Plus, I'll give you a little glimpse around the rest of college basketball and why Will Wade and the Bayou Bengals are about to skyrocket, potentially, up in the rankings. That, and early in this hour, we'll give you the latest on the NBA trade deadline. You know at this point that Anthony Davis will remain in New Orleans. Nico Mirotic will not. And so the rebuilding process, if we can initiate that sequence now, it's officially begun. Whether or not AD plays for the remainder of this season, an entirely different discussion. So a lot to get to lead off today. LSU hoops and the National Signing Day leftover conversation. We'll sneak that in as well, but also the NBA trade deadline. And then there's our great guest at 4:30, jacked up about this. We are going to play ball, I guess, on our 4:30 Thursday segments with Hunt Palmer. What's ironic is my man is still doing a Hoops with Hunt podcast. So he's all over LSU basketball. I will fit a question or two in there, but the design of these weekly interviews is to talk LSU baseball, and we will do a lot of that. Who's going to be the Saturday starter? Is it Landon Marceau? Who's looking good behind the plate? And just what else is he really monitoring before we have the opening weekend at Alec Box Stadium beginning a week from tomorrow? So Hunt Palmer, our only guest of the 4 o'clock hour, and get used to it because he'll be here into the summer, Thursdays at 4:30. Speaking of regulars, and a really good one, you got to have them when you come to a friendly and familiar bar like the Tap Room. At 5 o'clock, Jeff Horchek, we're going to have two blocks of our friend from KLFY, Pospot 2, also Middays. And Jeff, going to wax as well on Anthony Davis. We've had some developments since the last time that he was here. What does he think about AD staying in New Orleans? Would he play him again? And then a little bit of a glimpse into some raging Cajun sports as well. Jeff Horchek, 5 until 5:30, our only guest of hour number two. And then only the lonely in our mysterious third hour as well. Chance LeMaire, Prep Hoops, Louisiana lead scout. That's going to be a basketball recruiting and a prep basketball conversation. It's bouncing your way at 6:30. The area players here in Acadiana, whether they're seniors or underclassmen that have impressed him the most, LSU targets for the late signing period. Will Wade and company on the hardwood. And then we'll also take a bit of a look around Louisiana and get outside of this Acadiana area. In particular, I want to ask him about the talented duo, one a junior, one a sophomore at Walker High School. So we are locked and loaded today. Hunt Palmer, Jeff Horchek, and Chance LeMaire, all with reservations. Whenever you want to get in on the action, join the party, just call. And the first half of this show is wide open for you. 706-0111. I will go to LSU hoops first. 92-88 in overtime. Statistically, look, you've got a smartphone. You might get the paper. You know the numbers. Naz Reid, incredible. Tied a career high in points. 9 rebounds. And, of course, the OT dagger. What impressed me the most about Reid, who's probably gotten some undue criticism from the LSU fan base, maybe even some of the media, in his freshman season, likely his only season at LSU, he scored 25 points after the half. And now the Cats averaging almost 16 points, 6.5 rebounds a game in SEC play. That's getting to be fairly rarefied air, I should say, for LSU freshman not named Ben Simmons. Reed is really starting to turn it on. Tremont Waters, look, the numbers are great. I love 26 points. I love 5 assists. I think I like 5 steals more than any of them. Defensively, he continues to turn games around in spurts. And then the other thing that impressed the heck out of me from Trey Waters last night, he played 10-plus minutes with 4 fouls to end that ball game and didn't DQ himself. And so these freshmen, these sophomores, LSU fans want to keep saying it's a young team, give them time. It's college basketball. Just about everybody who's good is young. There are exceptions, certainly. When you talk about Gonzaga, Nevada, maybe even Virginia, but everybody's young. It's college basketball. 1 and done, 2 and done, transfer from not playing enough. Everyone's young, but these young kids are starting to play like grown men, which is exactly what Cavell Bigby Williams is. How about his 6th double-double of the season? And dude didn't miss from the floor last night, 6 of 6. So statistically, they passed a lot of the eyeball tests, but there are issues. I'm going to get to those in a moment. I want to go big picture here and tell you how rare last night's win truly was. And if you watched it, whoo, you pull your hair out a little bit. And I'm sure Will Wade is doing some of that. But the opposition last night, Mississippi State from the hump, shot 55% or thereabouts. It's only the 2nd time that LSU as a program has won on the road since 93, with that being the case. And so you tie that together with the UL basketball game that I attended last night, and you might as well hike up the shorts like the Tigers are doing. You might want to strap on an afro as well, because we're starting to see absolute ABA basketball back in vogue right now. Everyone's running and gunning, and boy, it makes for some unnerving times. So LSU shoots about 55%, but so does Mississippi State. But what's incredible, and again, this is another area where you debunk the "we're young" moniker. Everyone's young, but LSU is gutsy. The Tigers have won 5 straight on the road in SEC play. I can't tell you how difficult that is. I don't have enough time in 3 hours to explain the complexities of winning 5 consecutive road games in conference play, in this conference, where you're going up against Bruce Pearl. And I know they haven't seen Kentucky or Tennessee yet. I get it. But they're playing some really good coaches on the road. And last night it was Ben Hallen. I mean, these are guys that have coached programs to the Sweet 16, the Elite 8. It's hard to do what they're doing. 5 straight SEC road wins, 3 of them in overtime. Add it all up, what do you get? A team that's 18-4, 8-1 in the SEC. They've now got 4 quadrant 1 wins. And here's that look around the NCAA. For those of you that like the whole rankings thing, and I know that everyone's relying on the net rankings, but I'll go by USA Today. LSU started this week at number 21. Consider the following. Since Monday, number 11, Virginia Tech, has lost. So too has number 9, Michigan State, number 10, Marquette, number 13, Kansas, and just tonight alone, number 12, Houston, plays on the road, and they're a 1-point favorite. Number 20, Iowa, on the road tonight in conference play. They're an underdog. LSU's not going to jump all of these teams, but I promise you, like the Jeffersons, they will be moving on up from number 21. This is a team that if they can hold serve at home against Auburn on Saturday, they'll be 9-1 in the league, and I'm going to go ahead and say right now, they'll be about number 15, maybe 16 in the country. Before we hit a break, there's a lot more good than bad. But here are the issues as I see them right now. As much as you can, nitpick a team that's won 18 of 22 overall games. State went on a 17-0 run midway through the first half. Defensively, yikes. I just don't know how you do that. And so it's still a team that it might be a little lazy for us to say that they start slow. They were leading 16-8, but then they gave up 17 straight. So they go through these lulls, and it's basketball. It happens. But that's too extended of a lull. That's too deep of a hole to start to dig for yourself. Also hard to miss last night that the rotation just might be shrinking a bit more. Really only 7 guys played last night. When you think about Darius Days, 8 minutes in that game off the bench. And so the rotation starting to shrink. They've been relatively lucky with the injury bug. short of Darrell Edwards, but they're going to have to remain that way because the guys that Wade trusts when it gets hairy, and by the way, if you haven't noticed, it's been hairy a lot lately, that list is starting to dwindle a little bit. Finally, and this is a good and a bad thing, this team will never sweat a deficit. That's the reason they keep playing in these overtime games, even with teams they're clearly more talented than. Again, it's hard to win on the road. I'll keep telling you that. But, boy, if you're Will Wade, it's got to be a frustrating team to coach. They deliver you more highs than lows. I'll be the first to tell you that. But a team that no longer sweats having a deficit, as a coach, that's got to make you sweat through every pair of, undershirt, shirt, and jacket that you've got on. And so, Wade, he's earning that money right now because this team makes him wait late oh so often. More LSU basketball on the other side. Plus, I want to talk a little pro football, but not the NFL. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We're coming right back to the Taproom River Ranch on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Winners eat nachos at a ball game and snag a foul ball barehanded without getting a drop of cheese on their shirt. Winners ride home with Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Welcome back in 15 minutes from our first weekly interview with Hunt Palmer. But before we get to the baseball talk, how about a quick basketball update from the Pelicans, the NBA side of things, and then a football question for you. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Anthony Davis is sticking around in New Orleans through the rest of the season. Might play again, hope he doesn't. And what's funny is the national story, you think we're not a soft country? The story right now is that there's some kind of reverse tampering, counter tampering. People are legitimately wondering right now on the mothership, if the Pels front office should get slapped around for this. Are you kidding me? The idea that they have sabotaged the Lakers by leaking out their offers in this process, making it so that the Lakers have internal strife in Luke Walton's locker room, making it to where LeBron is sitting three seats removed from his closest teammate on the bench. You've seen the picture I'm talking about. I mean, life's not fair. Tough cookies is the way I look at it. Clutch Sports are the ones that showed their rear end in this whole thing, if you want my opinion. And so because they went out and demanded a trade through Wojnarowski, I mean, look, you think you're doing the Pelicans a solid, the Pelicans have to look out for number one. And so the fact that the Lakers haven't gotten serious business done, yeah, I know, they traded Michael Beasley today, but they didn't offload all their youngsters, and now there's some wondering if the Pels sabotaged the Lakers' attempts to build around LeBron. They're not responsible for the Lakers organization. They're rivals, in a way. They're in the same conference, at least, so that whole thing to me is absolutely laughable, and I will take your phone calls on it. But what I can't update you on, Nico Mirotic is heading to the Milwaukee Bucks in return, and this will end up being a three-team deal, as I've read it so far. Stanley Johnson, Jason Smith are coming to New Orleans. The deal will also include the Detroit Basketball Pistons because they'll be sending multiple second-round picks to the Big Easy. So, again, to recap, the fire sale has begun right now for Dell Demps, Mickey Loomis, Gail Benson, and the Pelicans. And so two second-round picks are coming to New Orleans, a couple of players that, frankly, they'll get a two-month rent with an option to buy type of situation with. I don't hate it. I'd rather first-rounders, but it's not bad in the way of rebuilding. Two reactions that I will quickly make to it, however. Number one, Danny Ainge, I will shiv you in the yard if you mess this whole thing up after the NBA Finals. I will absolutely take you to the woodshed because everybody knows the main reason. There are several reasons, but the main reason that the Pels are waiting, they want Jason Tatum, and some of the latest reports today indicate Boston may be willing to part with Tatum, Al Horford, maybe another key player, and multiple first-round picks. Yeah, that's a lot better than what the Lakers were offering. So, Ainge, you screw the Pelicans on this one. I take a flight to Beantown, and I go after the kneecaps. Number two, I'm very much looking forward to the Bucks-Warriors NBA Finals. And if you don't think Milwaukee adding Nico Mirotic, if you think that's insignificant, you haven't watched a lot of Pels basketball lately. The Bucks are about to be a force. All right, CD, enough of that. All basketball so far to lead off the program, because I love the game and I've got opinions. But there is a new sheriff in town, sort of. We'll see if you agree with that. New football starting tonight. Again, kind of. But after the music, I'll get your opinion on it.
Love, exciting and new.
I don't pretend to know what the AAF is. That's kind of Clint, Cody, and normally Alan Michael type of conversation outside the 237 Roof Studios, even with Alan now up in the Iron City again. But I'll let Clint explain it. Yeah, I get it. There's a new football league, and Andrew Luck's dad is helping to guide the ship there. But there's also news today that Bob Stoops has resurfaced, and that he'll be the GM slash coach of a Dallas franchise of the XFL. So all of that got me to thinking, which hurt the brain, but I formulated this question. And it's your sink or swim question of the day. Will you make room in your life for football that's not high school, college, or the NFL? I'll keep it that simple. CD, educate me. What the hell's the AAF? And then answer the question.
All right, Ben, I'm going to start off answering your question there about what is the Alliance of American Football. It's something put together by Charlie Ebersol, Dick Ebersol's son, putting this whole thing together. And also you have Bill Polian being the head of football and the co-founder. It's definitely a little bit of a different way of playing the game in 2019. No kickoffs. They'll start off at their own 25-yard line. No extra point attempts, only two-point conversions. I'm interested in that. And then only one overtime period where they'll start off at the 10-yard line. And just like in regulation, two-point conversions are required. And again, it could very well end in a tie. But still, it's an interesting way of doing things when you look at what the AAF is bringing to the table. And I think one of the more interesting things that everybody's talking about is something called the Sky Judge, which could, within the final 5 minutes, I believe, of each half, could have a pass interference call or something involving player safety get reviewed, which I think Sean Payton wouldn't mind it like about 3 weeks ago.
All right, so that's pretty thorough. And now you've given me more than I needed to know, and I'll push it out of my brain after my next beer. But my question is this. Will you make room for football that's not high school, college, or the NFL?
I think I will make some time out of my schedule to watch some football that's not high school, college, or the NFL, especially with it being not in, within that kind of year. If it was during the NFL and high school and college football, I probably wouldn't watch it, just get lost in the shuffle. But when it comes to the AAF and the XFL, it's something different. It's something during that time frame where there is no football. I'll watch it. I'll definitely give AAF a shot, because it's not like these guys are kind of just geeks off the street, guys that haven't done a whole lot. I mean, we got like the Memphis Express. If anybody's listening and is want to be interested in this, Memphis Express is the team you need to root for, because they got a lot of former LSU players like Toby Weathersby, Terrence McGee, Zach Mettenberger. Even Brad Wing is on the roster. I'm definitely feel like that alone is enough to intrigue at least some people to wind up at least watching the first couple games of the AAF.
It is a good thing, my friend, that it takes all types to make the world go round, because we couldn't be any more different on this subject. You can take a shackle, put a 20-pound bowling ball on the end of it, and just toss me into the lake with it, right? I am absolutely sinking here. No, we've already had opportunities to migrate to other types of football. There's the Canadian Football League. There's arena football. We've already got other types of football. And why is it that they're not skyrocketing? We've got the World Football League, for crying out loud. Jake DeLome's been on this program. He's told us about that experience. If we were going to jump to something, I think it would have already happened. Now, that said, I get the fact that there are those jumping off the NFL ship. You're entitled to it. But my sincere guess is they're not looking for another form of football to get their jollies. I think that these feel incredibly gimmicky. Look, there are smart guys involved, no question about it, right? Luck, Oliver Luck is somebody I respect. Dick Ebersol left a legacy with sports programming for the Peacock Network. We'll see how his kid does. Bill Polian, don't know if he's just collecting a check, but I know that he's been a part of some pretty impressive rebuilds of NFL franchises. So I have to respect some of the guys involved, but no, absolutely not. We have far too many other options. I would be closer toward going full in on UFC than I would be going full in on any of these leagues. And by the way, I ain't doing that either. But I'd be closer to dipping a toe into the UFC MMA type of world than I would be one of these. So it is so hard for me to believe that either of these leagues is going to take off, even when they're countering the current high school, college, NFL seasons, even when they're playing football when nobody else is, that's established. So hard for me to believe that these are going to take off. I'd love for you to tell me if you think I'm wrong here. And you got another minute where you can do so. 706-0111. I'm usually not that out of touch with stuff like this. But CD, void of any calls here. I mean, I'm not trying to go old man get off my lawn here, but am I just out of touch with what's going on in the sporting world?
I don't think you're out of touch. I think you just want it to be strictly the NFL, because I agree with what you're saying. Like, you had several different opportunities.
No, not just the NFL.
No, but I'm saying you had several different opportunities to have that alternative. You had the USFL. You have the CFL still going on today, Arena League football, a lot of different things that have gone on over the last 10 to 15 years, and something hasn't stuck yet. Again, that's probably because of the fact of the monolith that is the NFL. And again, maybe it's just the fact that people are wanting just something a little bit different, just to see what it's like. It's the grass is greener on the other side, basically, Ben, is what I'm saying. Maybe not like for the long term, but at least for the first couple weeks, I think people are in on it.
I don't know that any of these catches any more traction than the big three did. Why don't I give that comparison? But let me make one thing clear before we go to a break. It's not an NFL or bust proposition. There's a reason the question includes high school and college football. I know cats that, look, they only get down with the college game. That's all they do. If they dip into the high school ranks, it's because they care about recruiting, period, end of story. So there are people who love football, especially in our neck of the woods in the deep south, who are done with the NFL. I know that. I meet them every day. I just don't think either of these leagues is going to catch on. All right, on the other side, time to debut our weekly interviews in 2019 with Hunt Palmer. I'm excited. You should be too. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We'll be right back to the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
From Traffic, Markel Fultz, the era is over in Philadelphia.
When it comes to purple and gold baseball, Hunt Palmer is dialed in. Now, back to the Tap Room, where Hunt schools Ben on Maneri's Men on 103.7 The Game.
I don't know about schools. That might be a pretty strong word. Bumper to Bumper Sports, right back to the Taproom River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. And it is time to begin our weekly chats with Hunt Palmer, noted LSU baseball and basketball fan, and he continues to do a great job talking about both of them. How are you, Hunt?
I'm good, Ben. I guess class is in session.
Yeah, I will be the young grasshopper in this case. Look, you're still doing Hoops with Hunt podcast, so I'll start with the basketball team. It's got to be a frustrating group for Wade to coach because they fear no lead. But, wow, the way they could turn it on late, you've been enjoying it as a fan, I'm sure.
Yeah, you know, I don't know about enjoying it. I enjoy it when it's over. In the middle of it, it's not too much fun. But, I mean, it's a tired and boring cliche, but they find a way to win, or they know how to win. It's whatever overused term you want to use, but they're doing it. And obviously, you know, it bit them against Arkansas over the weekend, but they roared back and beat a really good team on the road last night, and now make the turn at 8-1 in a really good position to make a push and set themselves up very nicely for the NCAA tournament. And that's not something we're really used to around here. So it's been a really fun stretch. On paper, they look great. They have some flaws, but they're finding ways to win basketball games, and that's fun.
Hunt, I'm not sure that we're used to anybody like Naz Reid either. And you and I sat in a lot of games at the PMAC together with some pretty darn good big men, Jordan Mickey, Jarrell Martin. I think to an extent we might be able to throw Ben Simmons in there, but I'm not sure anybody quite like Reid. What do you make out of his game and the way he's seemingly turning it on at this point in the season?
Well, I know he frustrates a lot of people. My Twitter mentions and my cell phone blow up during basketball games because everybody sees his body and says, why doesn't he go stand on the block and shoot jump hooks? And that's just not his game. He's gotten better at some of that, and he does it every once in a while. But really the strength of his game is shooting the basketball. He's a great free throw shooter, shooting like 85% in the league, 7 of 8 last night. He's pretty good from around the bucket, and he's a good three-point shooter. And he's not shooting like 6 a game. He shoots 2 or 3 a game, and he's usually pretty open when he shoots them. And anybody that's over 6'4 and shoots 3s drives a lot of people crazy, but he does it. The one thing that Naz Reid does that I don't like is when the action on the floor freezes and nobody's moving and he's got the ball and he tries to create off the dribble. He turns the ball over when he does that. Now, when the defense gets out of position and he catches the ball open, he can attack the rim, and I'm okay with him doing that. I just don't like him trying to break guys down off the dribble. He can do that in high school. He can't do that anymore. It's too slow. But other than that, you know, his game is kind of perimeter-oriented, and he's finding his niche, and LSU had to have him last night, and he was huge.
All right, it is time now for class to be in session. Let's talk a little baseball. Our guest, Hunt Palmer, on Twitter, at HuntPalmer88. I'll go to maybe the most obvious superficial question. In the weekend rotation, if Friday is locked up for Zach Kess and Sunday is as well for Eric Walker, what is Saturday starting to look like to you, and are they just waiting for Landon Marceau to claim it and to kind of earn it?
Well, he's going to get the first Saturday start of the year, and I think he'll start every weekend throughout the season. I think there's a real good chance Landon Marceau is the best pitcher on the staff, and this staff's got a lot of good pitchers on it. He's ready to pitch in college baseball. He just showed up ready, just like Alex Bregman showed up ready to hit. Same thing with Daniel Cabrera, showed up ready to hit last year and did. He's got 3 pitches. He's up to 94 with the fastball. He will pitch at about 91, 92, but he can go get 94 if he needs it. He has really good command. I mean, there's a reason this kid got well over $1 million offered to him last summer. He's that good, and he's going to be awesome for this team. So I'm really excited to watch him pitch.
As far as the battery mate, I know there's an injury to at least one of the 2 catchers that was vying for that starting job, but what can you tell us about Palminteri and, I guess, his options right now and as the season progresses at catcher?
Yeah, they're thin there now. It's a little bit of an issue, but there's some talent there. Brock Mathis is going to be a starting catcher from day one. He's a pretty good defender, real tough guy, real vocal guy, good leader, and he's an average bat to maybe a little bit below average bat right now. But he'll block the ball nicely. He's got a pretty good arm, and he'll hold down the fort. Saul Garza is I haven't seen him catch much because he tore his meniscus right out of the chute. But I've seen him hit a little bit now in the fall for a week, and then now I've seen him a couple times again this week, and he is a serious bat. I mean, power for days, hit the ball the opposite way off the wall yesterday afternoon. He's a really good hitter, and he's going to hit right in the middle of the order as the DH right now as his meniscus heals up. But he's running full speed. He's pretty close to recovery. He just can't obviously squat down and catch a full game right now. That's the last thing that'll come. So that's not going to be ready for, you know, about a month. So Mathis is going to have to catch pretty much every game for a month. And then after that, we'll see, you know, just how they want to play it with Garza, if he's going to be the DH or if he's going to go back behind the plate. But right now, LSU really doesn't need any sort of injury or setback for Brock Mathis, because if he's not able to catch, you're going to have to go to probably Drew Bianco, who's your emergency catcher, who isn't really a catcher.
Hunt, the way last season ended for Daniel Cabrera has a lot of people excited. That plus is obvious. Pedigree coming out of Parkview in Baton Rouge. Is there a reasonable comp for you, whether it's a former LSU player or maybe even a guy that fans are familiar with from the SEC ranks?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I feel he just hits the ball so hard to every field, and he's got some power that he's grown into. And I mean, Palminteri said he fit right in on Team USA last year as a hitter. And I believe that. He's I think, probably the best hitter on this team. He's going to hit right in the middle of the order. I don't know that I have a great comp for you, but he's very polished. He has good knowledge of the strike zone. He has no problem hitting the ball to left center field. He hit a ball to the wall to left center field yesterday. And if you miss inside out of the plate, you know, he'll spin on it and hit in seats in right field too.
Another moment or two with Hunt Palmer. And before we depart here, I want to ask you about Outside the Box and that podcast coming back from you and Charlie Hanegraaff. But if you take out the presumed weekend rotation, give me the rest of the guys that you're most excited about, the roles they might be able to fill, and then kind of how closer factors into all of that.
Yeah, we'll start there. Todd Peterson's going to be your closer, and I think he'll do a great job. He's got the temperament for it. Last year, obviously, at the end of the year, he got a lot of confidence, not just hitting a double in the SEC tournament, actually pitching the baseball. He was great. And I think he'll do a great job there. Right in front of him is going to be Devin Fontenot. And I think that's a guy that nobody's talking about. I think he can be dominant. I think he was up to 95, and I think there's 96 or 97 in there when the weather warms up and you know he gets some innings under his belt. He's going to be throwing really hard. The slider's pretty good. I love those two guys at the back end of the games. And it's really an embarrassment of riches. I was nervous about the depth of this pitching staff because of the injuries in the fall. After the last 2 days of going out there, I'm not anymore. Cole Henry, I saw for the first time yesterday. He's easy 92 with the fastball, and when he needed it with two strikes yesterday, he pumped up and got the 94 and threw it by Drew Bianco. He's a really talented kid that didn't pitch in the fall. I think he factors in. Mikhail Hilliard pitched yesterday, and that's encouraging. He's been battling some arm stuff since the regional, and he looked like his old self, had the curveball working, and throw the fastball up to about 87. So I think that's encouraging. And, man, yesterday, Jaden Hill was just unhittable. The freshman from Arkansas was throwing 93 miles an hour, and the breaking ball was very sharp. That's not something that I saw a lot in the fall. I think he's progressed a lot. So, I mean, look, everybody that goes out there just about is throwing 93, 94 miles an hour. It's as powerful a pitching staff as I've seen at LSU in a very long time.
Okay, everything we're talking about right now is the 2019 season. But before I let you go, quickly, your thoughts on Mo Hampton. Do you think he makes it to campus to play for Palmieri and the baseball team?
It's a real risk, I know that, but I think he will make it. This is a super leveraged deal because you know all these guys have the opportunity to go play college baseball, but then to throw in the football, I'm gonna need a couple extra dollars for you to rob me of those two things. So he is a legitimate, you know, top five round guy, and if somebody sees the athleticism, sees the hand-eye coordination, and wants to play in their system, he'll have a chance to do that. But he could price himself out. I think there's a pretty good chance he makes it to campus.
All right, we mentioned the Hoops with Hunt podcast, and that's going on right now. Will, for the rest of LSU basketball season, tell our listeners about Outside the Box, you and Charlie Handegriff, and when it begins.
Yeah, it's year three. Me and Hanny, Outside the Box, a podcast. We're going to start, I believe, the Monday after the opening series. So a week from this coming Monday, Charlie and I, just about 20, 25 minutes reacting to the weekend that was. We've really had a good time with it. We made a great run through Omaha a couple of years ago, and that got cut short last year. But this team looks like it may send us through June, which would be a fun deal.
You can always listen to Hunt and both of those podcasts, 1045ESPN.com. Brother, thank you for doing this. It's going to be a fun spring and summer.
I'm looking forward to it, Ben. We'll talk next week, man.
That's our guy, Hunt Palmer. And just as rock solid as they come, despite being a Chicago Cubs fan. Other than that, just as good of a guy as you could ask for. We're going to take our final break of the hour. When we return, how about a little deeper dive on the Pelicans? Mirotić out, Anthony Davis in, and I'll go a little bit further on everything right now that is being bantied about, because the national side does not like what the Pels have done. People in Louisiana, especially after the Super Bowl boycott, they are eating it up. We'll have some fun with it when we return. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, hanging out at the Tap Room River Ranch and taking you home on 103.7 The Game.
This show won't protect your quarterback or cover downfield,
but it's got animal control down pat.
Oh, if you see a possum, try to kill it. Okay? It's not a pet.
Back to Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Back in one more time during the 4 o'clock hour. You are listening to Bumper Sports live from the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. We'll catch our breath for a moment. That was dynamite stuff right there from Hunt Palmer. Again, we'll have him every single Thursday at 4:30. It'll be LSU baseball heavy, especially as Will Wade and the Tigers get through their season. And don't forget, tomorrow at 5 o'clock, James Moran. It'll be year two of the On Deck Circle with the editor of Tiger Rag Magazine. More LSU baseball conversation. And for the Vermilion and White fans, Monday, 5:30, He's butted up right behind Ruffin Rodrigue, jacked up about this. Jace Conrad, former Lafayette High Mighty Lion and an All-American for Tony Robichaux and UL, is going to be joining the program for weeklies too. So, yeah, we're awfully ready for baseball season. But let's get to the hardwood, specifically the NBA trade deadline. Came and went, 3 p.m. Eastern time. You want to weigh in? Feel free. 706-0111. Locally, the Pelicans keep Anthony Davis, and I'll get back to some of the butthurt there nationally and certainly on the West Coast. But jettison Nico Mirotic, who has been nothing short of a godsend in his, what, year plus with the franchise? He has made them so much better on the floor, and he's helped them a lot when you've had injuries to Anthony Davis, to Jrue Holiday, to Elfrid Payton, to Julius Randle, to Boogie Cousins. I could go on for a while, right? Mirotic has been very good for this franchise. And so I'm almost happy for him today that he not only finds a way out the door before the Titanic sinks, but Mirotic is going to the best team in basketball, at least in the regular season, the Milwaukee Bucks. So that's going to be a formidable group. And the Pelicans did make a deal, as I mentioned. Mirotic is going out, coming in. There's two other teams involved here. Stanley Johnson, Jason Smith, two-month lease with an option to buy type of players for next year. And then Detroit is going to be sending two second-round picks to the Pelicans. But that national perception is just hilarious. Everybody upset that whoever it may be, Gail Benson, Dell Demps, the guy in between them, Mickey Loomis, they're playing the hashtag petty card. I think it's phenomenal. Are you kidding me? The same people, same person really, that owns the Saints, owns the Pelicans, and you gave them the biggest turd sandwich ever in the span of a week. They threw a boycott the Super Bowl party. It's the best kind of petty that there ever has been. And so if you think on the back end of that, that they're just going to willfully give up and probably undersell their most valuable asset maybe ever in Anthony Davis, possibly more valuable than Chris Paul was, you're out of your mind. And those nationally, and again, probably on the West Coast, that think the Pelicans should have some kind of reverse tampering charge brought against them, get the hell out of here. The Pelicans star, LeBron James, is represented by Clutch Sports, namely his best friend, Rich Paul. Rich Paul very publicly uses Woj from the Mothership as a puppet a week and a half ago to say that he wants a trade, which, by the way, is illegal, and they popped AD and Clutch for $50,000 there. And so in the aftermath of that, every offer that Magic Johnson, who, by the way, we thought was a pretty good businessman, maybe before this week at least, or this week accepting, Magic Johnson and Rob Pelinka keep throwing the kitchen sink, and then they add in the stove, and then they put in a couple of pots from under the shelf as well, and the Pelicans are doing exactly what they should be doing. They're leaking those offers to the public, and they're red receipt, do not responding on the text machine, basically, to Magic Johnson. That's what it is. Anybody who dates or is married to a woman, especially, who plays the red receipt game knows exactly what I'm talking about. That is code for, oh, I see what you sent me. I'm not responding to you. That's exactly what the Pelicans are doing. Why is there anything wrong with that? The Lakers are just expected to rob from their cradle, as they've always done. Think about the greatest big man of every generation, with the exception of maybe Pat Ewing and Hakeem Olajuwon. They all end up playing for the Lakers, or they start playing for the Lakers. Seriously. Kareem, Wilt, Shaq. I'm saying greatest of all time, and I'm about to mention Dwight Howard, but you catch my drift. The greatest big men of all time always go to the Lakers. Well, it's not your birthright anymore. Stop crying, because the Pelicans showed some backbone here. The whole thing to me is absolutely laughable. We got time for you if you want to riff. 706-0111. There are some other deals that have been made. In fact, a lot today. It's been a busy NBA trade deadline. Here are four more that you need to know about. And not all have been done today, obviously. But Kristaps Porzingis freed up more money for the Knicks. He's with the Mavs now. Still recovering from a knee surgery last season. But again, that move and some others are going to ensure that the Knicks have about $72 million, I think is the last number I saw, to spend on premium free agents. And the idea that Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving are on a beeline to New York, go to the internet. or go to social media, you'll see that Kevin Durant is absolutely sounding off on the way the media has a feeding frenzy on this one. And this other deal happened maybe a day, day and a half ago, but haven't had a lot of run the show with National Signing Day being yesterday. Tobias Harris, really good player, by the way, is going to the Philadelphia 76ers. More on Philly. Today they got rid of Markelle Fultz, who a cup of coffee ago was their number one overall draft pick coming out of the Washington Huskies program. Now Fultz is going to their Orlando Magic. And so they've got their long-term replacement for what used to be Elfrid Payton at point guard. And so you think about the combination of those moves and the statement that Philly is making. They ain't going anywhere. I don't know that they'll be quite as good as Toronto and Milwaukee this year in the East. By next year, I think they will be. Who knows? Could happen this year. But suddenly, if you look around, the Eastern Conference is getting stronger. And that, to me, is welcome to balance out the leagues a little bit. It's not just LeBron and the 14 Dwarfs. But Philly right now wants a big four of Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, Tobias Harris, who, yes, trust me, he belongs in that type of conversation, and Jimmy Butler. And they plan to lock up all four of them. And then they'll surround them with role players a la J.J. Redick, who presumably is going to round out their starting five. And so they got rid of Fultz, and now they've got even a little more money to play with to make those big four and their deals happen. I'm impressed with what Philly's doing. I don't know if the Pelicans can come close to building in that direction, but boy, that would be the model. One other major deal that improved the East, at least for this season. Earlier today, Mark Gasol, from the only place he's ever known, was a teenager when he started playing with the Memphis Grizzlies, and now he's going north of the border. The Spaniards going to be lacing him up for the Toronto Raptors, and they've got a nice thing going up there. You pair him with Kawhi Leonard, and Toronto, who really was a good, borderline pretty good franchise under Dwayne Casey. They have a new head coach. They've got a new superstar. They switched out DeMar DeRozan. And now they have Kawhi Leonard as their leader. Toronto's playing really good basketball as well. So the NBA trade deadline, what's funny is that it has centered around New Orleans. And now there's a lot of anger toward the city and toward the franchise. Just trust me when I tell you, everyone else, the amount of anger that's bouncing back and radiating from the city back out toward you is tenfold. I just want to promise you. And that leads me just about perfectly, CD, into the final word of this hour.
What's up, Acadiana? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Voice. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Petty. That's the final word of this hour, and it has become the new awesome, as in the most incorrectly used word in the English language, in particular as it pertains to sports. Everybody outside of New Orleans and Louisiana is referring to the Saints, their fans, the Pelicans, their ownership, their fans, as petty. Well, let's take the Saints out of it and look at the Pels. When did we start subbing in petty for business savvy? That, to me, is absolutely incredible. So if this is what petty is, Gail, keep doing your thing. Everybody supports you. Petty, the final word of this hour, and it's brought to you by the Village Station. They're your final stop to fill the stomach and tank as you head home on Maurice Avenue. We're only one-third of the way home right now. On the other side of this break, Jeff Horchek. For 30 minutes, you're welcome to join that party as well. Dial 706-0111. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We're live at the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
We are off and running. Hour two of three underway. Ben Love joined for the next 30 minutes by Jeff Horchek. KLFY, Pospa 2 in the mornings and midday as well. We are live inside the Tap Room River Ranch. Joining us in spirit from the 237 Roof Studios, the famous Clint D. And, of course, this is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Jeff, we're starting to catch our stride a little bit here, and we've had nothing but basically NOLA angst and anger since you started joining the program. It's great topics. The people may not love the feeling, but I think they're enjoying the trade deadline and the way this went so far.
Yeah, well, it's kind of funny. I mean, it's New Orleans has been kind of the hub of the sports world the last 3 weeks or so after the NFC Championship game. And now, like I said, with Anthony Davis wanting to be traded and demanding that, and he's a sexy player in the NBA world. He's a young guy with a lot of talent and upside, and a lot of teams are interested in him. But, man, I tell you, you and I were talking at the break, and it's really funny because it really looks now like the Pelicans played Magic Johnson, LeBron James, and Rob Pelinka the whole time. They never intended to trade him to the Lakers. That's what it looks like now to me. I don't know about you, but sure looks like that.
I completely agree. I think it's the right thing to do, and they started to gauge. By the way, they didn't just start to gauge the market value for AD. They served notice to everyone else around the league. This platter of also-rans plus maybe only two first-round picks won't be enough. And that leads us into something that you showed me in the break. I knew that the Celtics allegedly were willing to give up a king's ransom for AD, but I didn't realize it was this much.
Well, there's a tweet that I just saw from NBA Central, and it said that a Boston deal for Anthony Davis in the offseason is expected to include Jason Tatum, who everybody loves, talented young guy, Marcus Smart, Robert Williams, Al Horford, and possibly three first-round picks. Now, if that's the case, that's a much better deal than the Lakers are going to give them, just on the players you're going to give me without the picks. And then you add in three first-round picks. So if that is true, if that holds true that the Celtics are willing to offer that trade, then I totally understand why the Pels were like, we'll just wait, keep Anthony on the shelf for the rest of the year, and then when the offseason comes, boom, because they're getting better offers. You know, sometimes it's better to be patient.
In this case, it absolutely is. Let's break down just the players alone because it's an incredible bounty that you mentioned there. Jason Tatum, it goes without saying, that's be the guy that they would have as their cornerstone moving forward.
Yeah.
An annual all-star, I think, once he gets into his mid-20s and beyond. After that, Al Horford, I think, would give them some semblance of what this franchise was used to with Jamal McGlure, the big cat, for a while. Somebody inside who leads the rest, he's still serviceable, and he'll help direct your locker room in the right way.
Yeah, he's a veteran, right.
But Marcus Smart, I mean, coming out of Oklahoma State, I believe, was a first-round pick. Mm-hmm. We know that Robert Williams from Vivian, Louisiana, played at North Caddo High School.
That's right.
Still holds the record for most blocks in a Sunkissed shootout. I mean, in St. Thomas More a couple years back, guy blocked like 37 shots or something stupid in three or four games. So that bounty of players plus not two but three first-round picks, that would be the ticket. Now, whether or not you could trust Danny Ainge, how do you feel about that?
Well, that's a big question, too. You wonder from a trust factor if he's pulling a Magic Johnson, too, because he knows other teams are going to be interested, too, because they've got time now to set up, you know, a trade and put together picks and players versus before with the Lakers where it was like, okay, let's just get this deal done now. So now the competition's going to be open. I still feel in some way in the back of my mind that the New York Knicks still may be interested. They have a ton of picks as well. And New York is the biggest TV market in the country. They haven't had a good basketball team for a while. And they have money after trading Porzingis to Dallas that they can sign two big-time players, Anthony and maybe a Kyrie Irving or a Durant. So I keep thinking that the Knicks may be involved in this as well. So I'm thinking maybe Celtics and Knicks are your two front runners now for AD. But you may have another team or two that jumps in there and gets excited in the coming weeks. We'll see. It's going to be interesting. He clearly wants to go to a big market team, and Boston and New York are both huge markets. So we'll see. I mean, this whole thing is just really funny when you look at it because it looks like Anthony has all along wanted to play with LeBron for a while, and the Lakers were all in on this. But I'm still not sold on Magic Johnson either as a GM because everybody says, oh, Magic Johnson, this and that. Magic clearly is not going to get Anthony now, it looks like. Okay, so this trade's falling
through.
Not
for this coming season.
Yeah.
After that, when Anthony has some choices, maybe.
So, but the pressure on him to bring in a couple stars right now is very hot and heavy. So, and now it looks like the team is turning against LeBron. We saw the picture of them on the bench the other night with all the players on one end and LeBron. So, you know, I just think they went about, and it sounds like the players in L.A. are like, well, LeBron wants us out of here, so we don't want to play anymore. So now they got bounty or mutiny or the whole team. So it's really creating an issue in L.A., and they got a problem on their hands right now. It's not going to be easy to fix, you know.
And for those that are just joining us as we start the 5 o'clock hour, AD stays for now. Whether he plays is another story. But Nico Mirotic is heading to the Milwaukee Bucks, coming back in return. Stanley Johnson, Jason Smith, and via a third party a third team technically in this deal. A couple of second-round picks are coming to the New Orleans Pelicans, so they are stockpiling some assets for the future. We'll see if any of them bear fruit. But are you in favor of the idea of tank, do what you can, even without trading AD, to maybe get the best draft pick that you could possibly get because they've traded Mirotić? I don't think they're going to play Anthony again this season.
Yeah, me either.
They're going to lose some games, Jeff.
Yeah, no, I mean, they're clearly going to be one of the top two or three worst teams in the league as far as record once the season's done. That's kind of a delicate – I don't know how you handle that as a coach. Do you say, guys, just stop playing? We're going to pay you, but don't play because we want to tank? Or do you just say, play hard and whatever happens, happens? I mean, because a lot of these guys, Ben, that are on the team right now clearly won't be on the team next year because they're going to get draft picks and they're going to – when they trade Anthony, it's going to change everything. So these guys are trying to have a job for next year somewhere. If they don't play, nobody wants them next year.
And I'm glad you mentioned the coach because there's no guarantee Alvin Gentry comes back.
No, I don't think – I think they're going to have a new – they're going to have a new GM and coach,
okay.
I think they're going to clean out. And that's why they're going to wait till they fire Demps and Gentry to make the trade. That's my theory. I mean, because that's the only thing that makes sense, right? Why would you trade him and bring – when you got two guys that are dead men walking, basically, in my opinion. So – I think that's what they're going to do is wait till the season, fire those two guys, then get new GM coach, then they decide where to send Anthony, make the trade, you get players that you want, and you're going to have to deal with, and then you go from there. That's what makes sense. Now, that doesn't always happen, but I think Mickey Loomis is probably thinking that. They're not going to win a lot of games the rest of the year. They're going to be one of the top two or three worst teams in the league record-wise. And then if, you know, potentially you get in the lottery, you could get the number one pick, you know?
We talked a whole lot of Pels in hour one. We let off with Jeff Horchek on that subject. I'm going to move it over to National Signing Day, mainly because you spent some time covering this area. I know that you went to college in Hammond. You're
right.
Familiar with the Livingston, Tangipahoa Parish area. What's going on in Ameen High School? I don't necessarily believe it's a crisis. Later in the program, we'll let people hear from Ed Ogeron on that subject. But the idea that one kid from that school is going to LSU, but
yeah,
the big fish, the big defensive tackle is going to Alabama. Again, you know the lay of the land there. What's your make on that program and that area and kind of who's coming and trying to put their hooks into the kids?
Well, I mean, you and I talked about, I believe last week off the record, we were talking about Saban and how he still has a big name in this state, even though he hasn't coached here for years. And so he still can walk into any school in the state and get instant, you know, attention and can pretty much pluck a lot of the better players out of Louisiana, guys that he wants, which he's been doing ever since he went to Alabama. I remember when he came after his first year at Alabama, they, of course, lost to ULM, and everybody was flipping out. And then, of course, he got on track, and they're not going to do that again. But he came to Lafayette for a football camp that UL put on. Tim Rebo was actually heading up. And Tim Rebo hit me up and said, "Hey, Jeff, Saban's coming to the hotel here. Why don't you come over and cover that?" We always would cover it. So I went over there, and Saban was there. And mind you, this was after his first year at Alabama. He didn't light the world on fire. So there weren't a lot of media people there, so I said, "Coach, can I get a little interview with you?" He said, "Sure." We came over, we talked, and I said, "You know, you're always really still love Louisiana, don't you?" He said, "Well, there's a lot of good football players here, man, and I like good football players." So that told you right there he was going to continue to recruit Louisiana, which he has. A lot of his top players are still out of Louisiana. You watch every year, and you're, "Oh, that's a Louisiana guy." So that's not changed, you know?
The stat was given by Glenn Gilbo of the Daily Advertiser on this show yesterday. 9 top 5 players in their class since 2012, which,
yeah,
again, whether that's a problem or not, I guess it's in the eye of the beholder. But as I break the math down, that's 9 top 5 kids in 8 recruiting cycles.
Right.
So just more than one a year. I mean, it doesn't make up a huge percentage of their population, but they've been big-name guys.
Oh, yeah, and he's going for the cream of the crop, guys. He's not coming over here for 2-star guys or 1-star. He's coming over for the big 5-star, the big fish. And that big lineman from Ameen is a big fish. He's a big-time recruit. You know, probably a guy that's going to be there 3 years and then go pro. I mean, he's that type of guy. So it doesn't surprise me. And that's the problem with the SEC right now is that, you know, Ed Orgeron can come over and he can fix as much jambalaya and gumbo as he wants. But when Saban walks in and dumps a bowl full of rings in front of him and says, "I'll get you to the league as a first-round pick in 3 years," it's hard not to consider Alabama. I can't blame these kids. And Ed's doing what he can to recruit, and he's still pulling talented kids. I mean,
oh, yeah,
he had another great recruiting class this year. But Saban is the best, you know, right now. And then Dabo, too. And Dabo and Saban are the two top dogs, you know. But, yeah, I think Saban still has that. He has that swag where he can go in anywhere in Louisiana and still pull. And he's doing it. Every year he plucks 2 or 3 blue chippers out of here. And
so why don't we do this? Heading into a break, CD, I've been teasing this soundbite from Coach O. Let's actually play it right now. This is Ogeron yesterday in his National Signing Day press conference, and he was asked the following question. Coach, does LSU have an A-meet problem?
You know, I'll say this. We went into that area and haven't had a lot of success there, and I'm happy that we got Devontae. And it was a two-year recruiting battle to get him here. A lot of schools wanted to get him there. Obviously, there's some players at other schools that help recruit these guys, and whatever makes them go over there, I don't want to discuss that. I just know this. We did the recruiting the right way, as well as we can do it, and we feel good that we got Devontae.
So here's what I'm going to say. For Jeff, for Clint, and for everybody listening, we'll hit a break, then we'll discuss it at length.
Okay.
We monitored what Ed was saying yesterday because the presser was right when my show started. We monitored it on Twitter. Then we had Glenn Gilbo on. At no point did I see that quote. But when I woke up this morning, I said, holy smokes. That man took the podium and said, we recruit A-meet the right way.
Yeah.
I think we know exactly what he's suggesting there. So let's take a quick break. Jeff and I, we will discuss, and you're welcome to join as well. 706-0111. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports hanging out at the Taproom River Ranch, the right way on 103.7 The Game.
We could become friends.
103.7 The Game is all over social media.
It's great to be among friends.
And we want to interact with you. Tweet us at 103.7 The Game and vote in our daily Twitter poll.
You suckers will do.
Like 103.7 The Game on Facebook. Comment on daily topics and give us your feedback.
Did we just become best friends?
We want to hear from you. And never forget to check out 103.7thegame.com.
Can't get enough sports talk?
Keep the conversation going all day, every day. With Acadiana Sports Station. 103.7 The Game.
We're going back to our regular show, all right?
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 1037thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now
at 1037 The Game.
We are back, and we are going to dive back into that recruiting conversation. I promise. But first, a comparison too good not to share. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. Ben, Jeff, hanging out at the Taproom River Ranch, the famous Clint D, back inside the 237 Roof Studios. Our good friend Shamit Dua, he's the lead writer these days for Bourbon Street Shots. He comes on the program on the reg. Here's the analogy he gave as people continue to call the Pelicans and their brass petty. If you try to buy a $20,000 car for $7,000 and the dealership doesn't engage you, they aren't the ones being petty. That's just perfect, Jeff. I mean, that is absolutely perfect.
It is. It's a great analogy, you know? Makes sense. Sports, cars, whatever you're talking about, it works.
Our society sometimes sucks. We're so soft when that is petty. Yeah. It's just business. All right, speaking of just business, we're talking about recruiting, and we ended with that soundbite from Ed Ogeron. I briefly responded. Why don't you go in a little more depth? What do you think about that?
Well, when you mentioned that, I said, oh, yeah, the key words. You're trying to listen to key words that Coach Ogeron says, and he says, well, I can't explain why kids are wanting to go there, but, you know, so it almost sounds like, not that I like to read into what he's saying, but it almost sounds like shady stuff going on over at Alabama. They're using to pull these kids out of A-meet and stuff. And let's be honest, Ben, you've covered college football for many years. I've covered football for a long time. I mean, all the major universities do little things to sweeten the deal to get kids they really want.
Rubbing is racing, cheating is trying. Don't condone it, but it is what it is.
They all do it. They don't want to admit it, but they all do it. All the big boys do it. You know, shoeboxes full of cash end up at guys' doorsteps. Cars end up there. Their parents end up getting jobs. They get them in homes. I mean, all kind of stuff happens.
My guy Johnny Jones was caught red-handed doing that.
Yes.
And then got the job years later as
yes.
head coach.
So it still happens. And it happens a lot. Now, like you said, they don't all get caught. Every once in a while, the NCAA will crack down on a team. But all the big boys do it. And if they say they don't, they're lying because they do it. And so that's how they compete for these top-notch kids. And, Alabama's got a lot of rings, but they do it too. How they're not getting caught, I don't know. But at some point, it makes you wonder if that's, if it's ever going to happen. And it makes you wonder, Ben, because I know you've done this. You roll by the football facilities at these major universities.
There's some whips out there. There's some rides, man.
And there are some rides. And I go, man, these kids don't have jobs. They come from tough situations. And all of a sudden, they show up in a $200,000 SUV decked out. And I wonder how that happens. I don't understand. Why didn't I get the SUV? You know? So it's obvious that there's ways they get around it and they circumvent. And everybody that knows sports and knows college football knows exactly what I'm talking about. That's how you have to play the game if you want to. It's sad, but it's true.
Let's take a call now. Heading out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. T, welcome in, my friend. You're talking with Ben and Jeff.
Hey, Jeff, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing great. Hey, love you on TV.
Good.
Watch you often.
Thank you, my friend. Thanks.
Hey, Ben, I'm wondering, do you have an extra seat on that plane to Boston? Because I never did like Danny Ainge. I never liked Boston. Actually, I never liked Larry Bird. So, can I go?
And Jeff may be wondering what that is alluding to. I said earlier in the show that Danny Ainge, I will shiv you in the yard somewhere in Beantown if you screw the Pelicans over in this thing. Because that deal that Jeff laid out early in this hour sounds phenomenal. But if they pull the rug, Charlie Brown style, out from underneath the Pelicans here, and they end up taking a deal worse than what the Lakers were offering from the Knicks or something, T and I on the next flight out to Boston.
Hey, I got you, Ben.
T, thanks for calling, man.
Hey, one more thing. LSU basketball.
Go ahead,
oh, boy, don't they make you strain?
LSU basketball. And, look, we do appreciate it, T. I'll answer that question.
Thanks, T.
They make you strain. They make Will Wade sweat. And they are the most cohesive LSU team I can remember since the group that had Mickey, Martin, Quarterman, and Hornsby. And by the way, that group lost in the first round of the NCAA tournament. But talent is one thing. The Simmons team was the most talented, but they didn't play well together. And that would be an understatement. This team, they leave it too late. It is infuriating at times. It's frustrating almost all the time. But, boy, they know how to rescue it. They play together, and these young kids have grown up. I don't know how much LSU basketball you've been taking in lately, Jeff, but they, 8-1 in the SEC right now speaks for itself.
No, they're doing really well. They've played well. You know, Will's got a really talented group. He's done a good job of recruiting. He's got those kids at very young teams. So, hey, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how they do as the season progresses. But right now, they're definitely they're hanging tough.
There is one other topic I wanted to explore. Our guest for another few minutes, Jeff Horchek, Pospot 2 and Middays on KLFY. All right. We talked about LSU and their side of National Signing Day. The Cajuns landed the top recruiting class in the Sun Belt, one of the best group of five recruiting classes in the country. How do you reflect on the direction of this program? You watched the transition into HUD, and now that it's going fully in the direction of Napier, what do you make out of it?
Well, when Billy came in and he started to assemble his staff, I went, man, he's really doing a great job of getting quality coaches that know South Louisiana, know the state, have good connections with the high schools, and that's key, is building a good staff, especially for a rookie head coach like Billy. And I think it's paying off now because you see the type of kids that he's bringing in, a much better, higher caliber recruit than Hudspeth had, and I think it's going to pay off. I mean, I didn't think they'd win seven games this year, and they did. So next year I think expectations will be higher, and I think Billy's going to get a quarterback in place, a guy that he feels can lead the team. And so I'm not surprised because of the staff he put together. That's why you got to have a good staff that can recruit and bring in the right players you need to build. And he's done that. So
you had some experience covering some of these guys, maybe in particular Ron Roberts before they came here?
Yeah, well, I knew about – I didn't really cover Ron, but I kept up with him because, obviously, that's my alma mater. But, yeah, Ron, I mean, did a great job of recruiting at Southeastern and did a good job actually getting JUCO guys, too, to come there because, you know, let's be honest, I mean, in the Southland Conference, you got to pull some JUCO guys here and there. Or – Division I transfers that,
right,
like Brian Bennett, who was a stud quarterback from Oregon. You got to get some guys like that to jumpstart your team. He did a good job of that. And here, you know, he's recruiting high school guys. He's able to get – and they're getting a few guys here and there that will transfer from bigger D1s too. So
the writing on the wall was that Ron Roberts had an opportunity to move on from this staff and is electing to stay. And Billy told me straight up yesterday, we have guys that turn down jobs. They believe in what we're building.
Yeah. No, I think they believe in Billy too. They know that Billy – is on the rise as a head coach. So, hey, if we stay here, show what we can do, then maybe we can move on with him whenever he takes his next job. I think all that plays a part. You know that in coaching, the coaching circle. I think Ron realized, hey, I'm coming here. They're building something special. He's got a great staff this year. And as they continue to have success, you won't keep all those guys. You know that. Some guys are going to get head coaching opportunities if they want. But that's okay because it proves. And Billy's a low-key guy when you deal with him, but he knows his stuff. He knows his football. You can tell that. And I think he's got great relational skills too. I see that with his coaches, with his players, with the alumni, the fan base. And he's kind of mature beyond his years. And I think some of that has to do with who he's rubbed shoulders with.
Sure.
You know, some of the premier coaches in college football he's coached with, so he's learned. He's taking notes. And I think he's a guy on the rise. And the Lafayette community and the Cajun base should be really pleased with what he's done. And I think they're going to see more. I think in the next couple of years, you're going to be impressed with what he does. And I think, eventually you're going to see him take out a big boy, too. He's going to beat a big boy. It's going to happen. I think he's the guy to do it.
Next opportunity, the Superdome and Mississippi State to begin the season. Our guest for the last half hour has been Jeff Horchek on Twitter, at Horchek77. You can and should watch him. KLFY TV10. Hey, before we exit here, I got to tell you, the Sunday show that you guys put together leading into the Super Bowl was a lot of fun.
Oh, thanks, man. We had fun with it. It was great. Johnny Blanchard over at Rock and Bowl put us up, and we had a lot of fun. He had on the Super Bowl, the Saints Super Bowl, which we were able to watch, and it was fun. We got some former NFL Super Bowl guys on. Lloyd Mumford and Smokey Stover came on. It was great. So we had a good time, and too bad the game didn't live up to the hype.
Smokey Stover, who I have shared a duck blind with, heck of a guy.
Great guy.
Family. Jeff, again, thanks for doing this. I can't wait till next Thursday at 5 already.
It's going to be fun. Thanks so much, Ben. I really enjoy it.
This is Bumper Sports coming right back, taking your phone calls. Might throw a little shade as well as we hang out at the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
You say tomato, I say tomato.
The famous Clint D says something none of us will agree with.
Back to more top shelf analysis for your drive home. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports
on 103.7 The Game.
Never a bad time to be played in with that caliber of music. But I'm not going to lie, Clint, I thought it was something different. Bumper to Bumper Sports, right back in to the Tap Room River Ranch on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game, 103.7thegame.com. And really, you get me with this every time. With that slow drum roll lead-in, it kind of sort of sounds like the beginning of Brick House. Does it not?
You know, now that you say that, I never thought of it that way. It kind of does. It kind of does sound like the intro to Brick House, which has been requested once or twice inside the tap room.
And that's why I thought you went there. I'm so glad you connected the dots. It's still one of my top three moments ever at the Tap Room River Ranch. Of course, we had a lot of fun here related to my nuptials and wedding ceremony at the end of 2017, so I'm not going to exclude that. That's way up there at the top, no question. But, yeah, coming to this place, doing a show every Thursday, and occasionally our good friends at the Tap Room will have a gathering of a certain profession, right? So it'll be a night when the attorneys come out or the accountants come out. Okay, that's not true. Accountants don't party. But they'll do something like where the real estate agents especially will come out. And they had a particularly lively group. That's how I'm going to choose to phrase that. They had a very lively group. And the woman came up to me, and she tried to talk to me. And I was doing live radio, and it didn't register that I wasn't going to answer her. Had nothing to do with being rude. You know, I just... Look, lady, I got some mail to carry here for the next 3 hours. But eventually, she decided she was just going to leave me a note. Okay, well, I have to check this out. And so I waited until a break, and lo and behold, the note said, "Please play Brick House." And I'll never forget it. It was an awakening and a moment that made me realize if you sit in a bar with a headset on in front of a laptop and there's music playing, at least one person at a bar probably thinks that you're spinning the tunes that they're listening to. So I am not. I can't play Brick House, but Clint, I kind of thought you did there, at least for a moment. Somehow, some way, that's going to lead me into your daily reminder. It's a PSA locally that no one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. And there are so many offerings that you can really sink your teeth into. the retractable shades and screens, the standing seam metal awnings, the customized patio covers with the cypress accents. And the great part, you can trust in their management top down, starting with Mark, to help you expand on the products, create a vision, and then they'll help you fulfill it. You can also trust their professional installers inside your home. Collectively, the team at Patio Center, they readied up your patio game in 2019 before LSU, UL, and the Stros make extended postseason runs. How beautiful is that? And all it takes to start, a trip to patiocenter.com. The kings of customization, it's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
This one might be a day late, but we have to get it in. We have to fit this in the program. Yesterday was National Signing Day. A lot of things took precedent. If you'll recall, a couple of weeks ago, leading into the Pro Bowl, Jamal Adams, former LSU Tiger, made his first appearance there, now with the New York sort of football Jets. And he tackled Pat the Patriot. We've all seen it. He annihilates the mascot. Frankly, he didn't put his full shoulder, didn't put his full weight into it, but no questions asked. Feet left the ground, mascot down. And so in the aftermath of that, most thought it was funny. There was one, surprise, surprise, fake news report that Pat Patriot had to go to the hospital and that Jamal injured him. That was debunked. It turned out not to be true. But the whole incident did lead to Skip Bayless, who, when I described him earlier today to Clint, I said, yeah, the guy on First Take, and Clint said, no, Ben, he's on a new show, and he has been for years. It's Shannon and Skip. Don't know, don't care. But, yeah, that show, Jamal Adams, was the subject of some ire from Skip Bayless, who went after him, said you can't beat him, so you go after their mascot. And, of course, Jamal chirped back on Twitter, and ultimately it resulted in exactly what we all wanted, Jamal Adams going on said television show. And here is the clip. Jamal posted this to his Twitter account a day or two ago, and it fits shade pretty well here. I'll let you digest it, and then I'll tell you what I think.
That's definitely the plan, man, yeah, but I wanted to make sure, you know, you understood. If you was in the uniform, I definitely would have hit you a little bit harder.
Okay.
So, you know, anytime you want to do that, there's a lot of space and opportunity out there. You know, you and I can go, you know.
Okay, we'll do that.
Toe. Let's do that.
And you know what we'll do after that? We'll put on our tank chops and our shorts, and we'll go run after that, and we'll go as far as you want to run, 8 miles, 10 miles, for one of your weekly checks. We'll bet that. How about that? You want to do that? We'll do it tomorrow.
Let's do it. Oklahoma's real. Yeah. You and I. Yeah. Tomorrow. We can do it right now.
But
I'm
after
ready.
That,
oh, that is fantastic on so many levels. And the Jamal quote that gets to me, aside from suggesting the Oklahoma drill at the end, there's a lot of space and opportunity over there. Basically, find a patch of grass and I will light you up. Jamal Adams there, just crushing Skip Bayless. And nothing could make me happier. But the real shade, if you dig deep, read the fine print, so to speak, the real shade needs to be thrown at Skip Bayless, who went full out cross-country nerd on some people there. Full disclosure, if you ran cross country, this isn't directed at you. Don't come to the tap room and throw tomatoes at me. But basically, one of the real football, wrestling, baseball type of jocks, hockey, one of the big brawler types in high school, threatened one of the smaller guys. And the smaller guy said, oh yeah, well, you want to go run 8 or 10 miles? That's the weakest smack of all time. And I know what he's going after. The idea that football players only have to go 30, 40 yards in a play. They get the rest. They do it again. Congrats on the stamina, Skip. I hope you're really proud of that. As a health, stature, situation, great. I'm glad that a man of your age is staying in that kind of shape. Congrats to you, Skip. That's good. But using that as smack, oh, yeah, let's go in the backyard and run 8 or 10 miles. That is literally the lamest smack maybe of all time. You're catching the shade, Jamal. Light them up.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit PatioCenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
There's a lot of space and opportunity over there. but not to run 8 or 10 miles for me to literally drive you through the turn. I heard that, and I just couldn't stop laughing. The visuals, if you watch it, is even better, but I think it played okay on radio, too. All right, we're going to take our final break in the 5 o'clock hour. When we return, phone lines are open. We'll get back into LSU hoops. Kind of have deserted that topic since the beginning of the 4 o'clock hour. So taking calls, going LSU hoops, and maybe one final thought on some of the Ed Orgeron comments, because the way that he handled the A-Me thing was just about perfect. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, hanging out, having a great time at a packed Taproom River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
Is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Get in on the conversation.
Call on the game hotline.
706-0111.
706-0111.
Coming down the home stretch of hour two, you're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports live from the Taproom River Ranch on 103.7 The Game. And we've got a game plan for the rest of today's show. First off, we've got a scheduled guest at 6:30. Excited about it. Chance LeMaire going to join the program again. Does a great job. He's wearing a number of hats these days. He is an assistant boys basketball coach at Bossier Parish Community College. You probably don't care about that, and that's not why I'm having him on. One of the other hats, he's done a great job in this role for quite some time. A local kid from here in the Acadiana area, Chance LeMaire, is the Louisiana lead scout for Prep Hoops Louisiana. And so that'll be a conversation about some of the most impressive Acadiana area players, whether they're seniors this year or underclassmen. We're also going to discuss Will Wade and LSU's biggest targets for the late signing period. So don't forget, Chance LeMaire at 6:30. But the good news is this. Other than that, our phone lines are wide open. We can talk LSU hoops, signing day, Anthony Davis and the Pels. Hit us up, 706-0111. In fact, we're going to take a trip now to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Byron, I understand you want to talk Anthony Davis. Hit us.
Hey, what's up, man? I'm just going to play devil's advocate real quick here. As much as I appreciate the shade that Dell Demps and Benson and Loomis have thrown at the Lakers, you know what would have looked better for a franchise that has had Chris Paul and Anthony Davis for 13 years that only has one playoff victory? Build a winning team around one of the five best players in the league. Hoist the O'Brien trophy and beat the Lakers in the playoffs. That would have been a whole lot better than what we've done instead. Now we're back to 10 more years of lottery picks.
It would have been, Byron, but I think you and I can agree that's, at this point, that's revisionist history. They weren't about to take this year's team at a piece and get there. But I'm with you. That would have been a lot nicer.
Oh, I agree. I'm just trying to play devil's advocate.
No question about it. And I think one of their biggest tickets to that, Byron, was keeping Boogie Cousins. And I think once that ship sailed and then we saw what happened with Rondo, from there on out, it was downhill, brother.
Pretty much. You're right. Thanks, man.
Byron, I appreciate the call, my man. Look, I'm with him. Taking a transcendent generational talent and leading him to more than one playoff victory, yes, that would have been desirable. That would have been the best outcome. And I do believe, Clint, I'm turning into you. As I get older, time is a flat circle, but I'm turning into you. I'm going to have to correct him. I do believe the number is two playoff victories. And that's definitely the case because Chris Paul and company got to that Western Conference semis that went seven games against the Spurs back in the day. So two playoff series victories in the 13 years of CP3 and AD. But I'm with Byron. Where you're at now is not where you want to be. In fact, it's close to being the worst case scenario. It's close to being the worst thing that could happen. The redeeming side of it, the thing that bars it from being worse possible, is what you can get in return. And again, social media is a tricky place, so you got to be careful what you read into. But there's been a lot of movement lately on different forms of social media where you're starting to see the writing on the wall. And yesterday, just for an example, there were some emojis sent out on Twitter from Niko Mirotic's account. And it foretold, I believe, the actions that unfolded today. Mirotic going to the league's best team record-wise in the Milwaukee Bucks. Well, like that, you're starting to see some interesting followings on social media from Jason Tatum. And so I do believe the former Duke Blue Devil, now a second-year stud with the Boston Celtics, I think the writing is on the table there that Danny Ainge and the Celtics, and God help us, anybody but Dell Demps and the Pels, are getting ready to do big business. But I'm not going to completely discount what Jeff Hornacek had to say because I think he's right. Hard to imagine the Knicks are out of it. The difference between the Knicks and the Celtics is a stud player to hang your hat on. So what do you want out of the deal? What do you want out of it? Because I'm guessing that the Knicks are going to be able to give you more in the way of future draft picks. I'm guessing you're going to be able to recreate your team more through the draft if you deal with the Knicks. If you deal with the Celtics, it's going to be more a mixture of current players, so you don't suck as bad right now, and draft picks. But boy, if that deal that our friend Jeff Hornacek mentioned on the show to lead this hour off, if there are any legs, any substantiation to that, I mean, sign me up for that right now, and I'll save you 5 months of speculation. But the latest, again, rumblings, believe at your own peril, are that a deal between the Celtics and Pelicans would likely include not only Jason Tatum, but Marcus Smart, Louisiana native Robert Williams, a rookie this season, Al Horford, and not one, not two, but three first-round draft picks. That is the Godfather offer. That's the one that you can't turn down. That's the one that could change the direction of the future of this franchise. Let's take another call. Back out to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Ken, it's been a while, man. Good to hear from you. What do you make out of AD, the Pelicans, this whole thing?
Well, first of all, as great as Anthony Davis is, if the Lakers would have made that trade, then Magic Johnson and the whole organization should be fired. I would no way I'd give up all those prayers for Anthony Davis, as great as he is. That would have been insanity. So maybe the Celtics proposition may be well worth it, but I would have never done that as a Laker. And that, thank God, is not going through, because when I first heard that, I thought it was lunacy in the first place. Why would you give up some star players that are young for one person? You lose everybody. You still can't beat the Warriors with LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Who else you going to have? Everybody else gone.
I know what they were thinking. I don't know if it would have worked out, but I'm sure the thinking was, we'll get AD in with LeBron this year, and then in this offseason, we'll add a piece to have a big three, and then next year they really start their run. Would that have worked out? I don't know. My guess is that was their plan.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Ken, thank you. I think Ken's been in relative hibernation mode since the Saints game. I don't know if we've heard from him since then. Or maybe not even the Saints game, but just the Super Bowl. So it's good to have Ken back on the program. He always makes things a lot more fun here. Speaking of fun, we're having plenty of it at the Tap Room River Ranch. We're not quite at Rhythms on the River packed yet, because those Thursdays are crazy here at the Tap Room. But we're about three-quarters of the way there. This is a nice crowd. You're probably hearing it in the background, but we got a good mix of people that have showed up so far. Having some fun the first Thursday in February. Always a dog-friendly place. We got a couple of pups in the house. And later tonight, we're going to have live music, 8 until 11. Jones and Hollers, I believe, are scheduled to lay down the sound. Whoever it is, one thing I can tell you, you're not going to pay a dime. You're going to come to the Tap Room River Ranch. You're going to pass a good time, start your weekend early, and get some great live local music with no cover charge. It's the perfect place to be every Thursday night. That's why I come and camp out, starting at about 3:15 every Thursday. That's why we start the show here at 4, and we roll all the way until 7 o'clock. All right, any good game plan has to be flexible. I planned to go a little more on LSU hoops, play some more Coach O sound for you to end this hour. No mind. We're going to begin our 6 o'clock hour with that. So we'll reflect on LSU How about five straight SEC road wins, three of them in overtime? We'll talk about those Tigers on the other side of this hour break, and we will let you hear more from Coach O building on some of the sound heard around the world, at least in SEC recruiting circles. I love the way that Coach O said it. We recruit A-meet the right way. That is a mouthful. That is the way you got to do it. We'll be right back. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, two-thirds of the way home on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Standing by.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah!
And now let's get started.
Oh, hour number three underway. I'm Ben Love, and this is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 1037 The Game. At my usual Thursday haunt, starting to have a even better than usual time. We're having fun at the Taproom River Ranch. The famous Clint D., a little jealous, but keeping it professional from inside the 237 Roof Studios. 1 hour to go. I'm going to give you some of the latest feedback we've gotten on the program because, well, it's entertaining and because some of you may be feeling the same way. And then we will launch into some LSU basketball conversation. We'll talk a little more on the NSD postmortem side, let you hear from Coach Ed Ogeron, and then at 6:30, Chance LeMaire, Prep Hoops Louisiana, will be our guest. But CD, we have a lot of people that are going in on the sink or swim question of the day on Facebook. I'll read some of these responses. You can maybe give me your favorite. But in lieu of the fact that the XFL is, I guess, still a thing, and that Bob Stoops apparently is going to be their new GM/coach for the Dallas franchise, we also have the AAF that is coming into play, the Alliance of American Football. That led us to ask, many moons ago, it feels like, at 4:30. Will you make room in your life for football that's not high school, college, or the NFL? Brandon responds, I'm planning on checking out the AAF. All right. Troy, swim. Lots of people discouraged with the NFL. I will definitely check it out. Ben, not me. Initially, yes. Robert, I will give them a shot. Football is football. May not be as good as the NFL, but hopefully they have better refs. Mark, I'm down to college and only the Saints in pros, so no. Kenneth, will I make room? Yes. Do I think it will have the ratings and the popularity that college and the NFL do? No. Cade, not our guy Cade Turner. I'll give it a chance, especially since I'm already a lifelong fan of Vince. And then finally, Chad, another one-year Wonder League. CD. Any of that tickle your fancy? Any of that you really like?
You know, I really do like the comment from our guy Robert. He definitely nailed it pretty well. It's like, it's football. Like, how can you not enjoy it? Sure, the level of play might be a little less than as opposed to the NFL, but I think with a lot of what they're doing, especially the Sky Judge, I'm more interested in that than anything to see how that kind of plays out over opening weekend, if that winds up determining, being a big determining factor in a win or a loss. Because I have to agree, hopefully there are better officials in this Alliance of American Football, but I'm interested to see what's going to happen, at least for the first few weeks. And then from there, you're kind of like, okay, let's see how this goes.
CD's giving me a good idea. Maybe, just maybe, the best takeaway will be a new way to broadcast/illustrate games, or maybe ways to officiate it. And then those can be taken and pirated by the football that I actually watch, because I will not be watching the XFL or the Alcoholics Anonymous Football League.
Well,
I'm kidding.
The NFL AAF. Did that already.
Well, hey, look, it's low-hanging fruit, and yeah. You can grab it. Do so. Now, one other thing before we get into some of the Coach O LSU basketball conversation. An anonymous texter, again, they shall remain nameless, but this is fantastic. Clint, basically, I'll turn what the text inquiry is, I'll turn it into radio lingo. He's wondering if we can re-air the Ed Ogeron answer to the question, does LSU have an AME problem? He wants us to re-air the answer, and he wants a drop, a clipping of Ogeron saying, we recruit AME the right way. That is one of the funniest texts I've gotten on this program in a while, because dude wants to make that his ringtone. All right? And so, again, I will leave this person's name out of it, because a whole lot of listeners will know who this person is, and that's probably not what he wants. But that made me giggle quite a bit. So maybe, just maybe, we can make this person's dream come true. We can make it a drop on the program, and you can have it as your ringtone. We recruit A-Meet the right way. Whereas Les Miles kind of was, and again, I'm going to say this, and hopefully you understand what I'm saying. He kind of had this persona, his whole shtick of kind of Columbo-esque, right? Stupid like a fox is kind of the way we used to describe it a little bit. I think Ed knows damn well what he did yesterday, and I think it's awesome. I think it's absolutely fantastic. He basically gave you two different versions of Alabama is cheating, and, well, we're just not going to go down that road.
We did the recruiting the right way.
That's somebody's new ringtone right there. So we'll make it available for a nominal fee if you show up at the 237 Roof Studios. So hilarious. And it will lead us into some more Ed Ogeron clips here. You want to call in? Yeah, we got time for that as well. 706-0111. When Ed wasn't throwing shade, and by the way, that's the absolute perfect example of throwing shade. When he wasn't doing that, he was sounding off on players that LSU did haul into the boat in Baton Rouge. First, a guy that many thought leading into NSD-19 wasn't going to be a Tiger. Everybody thought he had eligibility problems. Now, well, he is with LSU. It's Ruston tight end Ray Parker.
Ray Parker from Ruston, Louisiana, 6'5", 260. He's going to start out at tight end. Ray has some great work to do. We gave him some assignments. We had to see some grades get better. He did. He is going to be academically eligible. We didn't know that at the beginning. And we are proud that his coach Ball and Ruston High School put him on the right track, and the outstanding athlete, outstanding tight end. So we're excited to get another player from North Louisiana, a very fertile ground for LSU.
My man Ed almost started that answer like a caller to the Dan Patrick Show. I know we got height and weight from Ray Parker, but it's almost like he announced his name, gave his height, and then here's how much I benched. Let's get some more Ed Ogeron reaction to National Signing Day. A dual sports stud, Mo Hampton, signed on the line. If you listen at 4:30, Hunt Palmer said the fact that Mo wants to play baseball and football at LSU, that's pretty good leverage when the MLB teams want to offer him back into the first, early second round money. Here, Ed Ogeron says from a football standpoint, we're getting a lot from this young man.
He's the number one player in the state of Tennessee, and Mo Hampton, 6 foot, 205, two sports star, great baseball player, great football player, can play corner, can play nickel, can play safety, outstanding young man. Tika, his mother, and Mo were outstanding people to recruit. We really enjoyed recruiting Mo Hampton, and we're looking forward to him to be a great football player and a great baseball player here at LSU.
There you go. All right, we got time for one, maybe two more from Ed Ogeron. Speaking of all these players and his breakdown, here's what Ed says about Devontae Lee. By the way, the one they did get from A-Meet High.
I want to start with Devontae Lee, 6'2", 215. The first A-Meet player assigned at LSU since 2002. We're excited about that. We watched the tape and we watched the state game. We felt that Devontae was the best player on the field. We watched him play basketball. I want to commend Mickey Joseph for an outstanding job. Mickey recruited him. Miss Lucretia, his mother, great character family, great character young man. Devontae is going to do some great things at LSU. We're excited about him.
I will slide in one more. It's almost as hard to – it's hard not to go in this direction. So the one that got away, this is Ed not mentioning a name, but discussing missing out on Ishmael Sopcich from A-Meet High.
Thank you. You know, Mickey and all the guys have done a great job in Louisiana. We did a great job in Baton Rouge. This has been a process. This class, we've been recruiting these guys for 2 years, some of them for three or four. And obviously to keep the guys in-state is a huge deal for us at LSU. And I thought we did an outstanding job this year. We actually only lost one player that we went after and offered a scholarship to. So I think that's an outstanding job by our staff.
Not exactly the answer that I thought it was going to be. Thought he would go a little more into Ish, but it didn't happen. Hey, don't blame me. I wasn't there. I'm just relaying what's been presented via audio. We're hanging out at the Taproom River Ranch, live music. Going to be here tonight, 8 until 11. Come out and join us. Perfect place to start your weekend a bit early. There's no cover charge. You just pass a good time. And they've got the huge life-size game of Scrabble that you can play and a huge decking for it. They've got shuffleboard. On top of that, more than 40 beers that are on tap and some of the best flatbread you'll ever have. Jeff Horchek is here. He's shaking his head. Yes. So come out, check it out. Have a good time. On the other side, we'll take some more of your calls, and I'll go in on LSU basketball. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
Stop yapping and get back to work.
Okay, everyone, let's get back.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now
at 103.7 The Game.
There we go. Way to hit the high note. Here we go. Back in with more. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Ben Love at the Taproom River Ranch awaiting your phone calls, your witty commentary, the famous Clint D from inside the 237 Roof Studios. And don't forget, on the other side of our next break, Chance LeMaire breaking down the best high school basketball players in Louisiana and Will Wade's top targets for the late signing period on the hardwood. But right now, I want to go a little deeper on what Will Wade and company have done this season. Forget about recruiting. They're not going to have a class in 2019 that resembles what they had in 2018. The fruits of that recruiting labor is coming to bear right in front of our eyes. And they have been frustrating but remarkable. And those aren't mutually exclusive concepts. When you look at what LSU basketball continues to do, they leave it late. Wouldn't want to coach that team. It would shave years off of my life. But boy, the way they deliver in the clutch and on the road, it's not like LSU basketball teams we've seen, I wanted to say in the recent past, but frankly since the early 90s. It's just the truth. Even when LSU won the SEC title 09, which was year one of Trent Johnson, they weren't this dominant in the league, and in particular on the road. I know. They still have Kentucky, Tennessee, Florida twice. It's not going to get easier. It'll get harder. But they weren't like this in 09. And they weren't like this when they went through a stretch early 2000s with Stromile Swift. Mid-2000s going to a Final Four with Big Baby, Tyrus Thomas, Garrett Temple, who, by the way, was traded today, Tasman Mitchell. They weren't like this. We haven't seen an LSU team perform this well and play this cohesively in a minute. And by a minute, I mean like 25 years. Now, will they scale the heights that some of those teams did? Stromile and company went to a Sweet 16. Big Baby and company went to a Final Four. I'm not ready to make those types of promises. And I also don't believe in the idea of a young team in college basketball. Everybody's young. That's really good. It's the way the game works now. One and done. Two and done. Not playing early, so I transfer out. Everyone's young. It's not an excuse. But LSU is stealing some of these games late. And I'm not trying to lead you to believe that they haven't deserved it. They're taking games late. Consider some of the following. And I led the program off more than 2 hours ago with some of these facts, but they're still just amazing to me. 92-88 win last night in overtime at Mississippi State. and State shot about 55% from the field. It's only the second time since 1993 that LSU has allowed that type of shooting performance and won on the road. Those aren't things that usually add up in an equation and then equal out to a win. I mentioned it's the fifth straight SEC road win for LSU basketball. Three of them have been in OT. And so, yeah, you bet there's issues. You bet there are. Tigers allowed State to go on a 17-0 run midway through the first half. Defensively, that can't happen. Basketball's a game of runs. You got to find a way to limit those, whether it's Wade calling timeouts, defensively, gut-checking yourself. You can't allow that to happen. And the rotation, in my opinion, is starting to shorten. Only seven guys, effectively, were a part of it last night. Darius Days whittled down to only 8 minutes off the bench. So they're not playing as many guys as they were non-conference and early SEC season. Sometimes that's the way it goes, but your margin for error is getting thinner. And far and away, the biggest issue is actually a double-edged sword because it is good and bad. This team will never sweat a deficit. They've proven to themselves too many times that they can rescue it late. Now, I think what we saw last night was a reminder that they didn't really learn all that much from the Arkansas experience where they didn't rescue it late. But this team's never sweating a deficit, ever. And as a coach, it's got to be incredibly frustrating. But his guys are rewarding him. And don't look now, but Naz Reid is playing like one of the three or four best freshmen in the SEC. One of the top 8 to 10 freshmen in college basketball. Why is that important? Well, go look in June or July. Can't remember which month the NBA draft is in, but just when it happens, go look. For the last 5 or 6 years, how many freshmen have been lottery picks, top 14 picks? At least 6, 7 of the 14, at least. And so if Reed is performing like one of the top 8 to 10 freshmen in the country, again, I'll let you do your own transference there, your own equation. Reed scored 25 after halftime last night. And, of course, the OT dagger that went high off the front rim and in to effectively win the ball game. So Reed scores 29 total. Waters gives you 26. Defensively, he is the best head of the snake defender that LSU's had since Anthony Hickey. 5 steals last night from Waters. And maybe what impressed me the most, the kid played 10-plus minutes to end the game last night with 4 fouls. So, again, if you're Wade, you're sweating buckets about one of your best bucket getters being disqualified. But the kid conducted himself the way he needed to stay in the game, make a difference, and they got another big win at a hard place to play. They beat Ben Hallen in Mississippi State. It's a league that has a lot better coaching than it used to. And right now, Wade is starting to show that he belongs at a minimum. Tigers overall 18-4, 8-1 in the SEC. According to our man Cody Warsham, who joins us every Tuesday, that was the Tigers' 4th quadrant 1 win of the season. Important when you start to get into bracketology. And at this point, not if LSU will make it, but where they'll be seated. And also there's this. I mentioned this to begin the 4 o'clock hour as well. Survey the landscape. Do yourself a favor. Take this little journey with me. Since Monday of this week alone, when the last crop of USA Today rankings were released, since Monday, number 11, Virginia Tech has lost. So has number 9, Michigan State. Number 10, Marquette. Number 13, Kansas. And in a few moments here, you've got 2 top 20 teams that are tipping off, and number 12, Houston's one of them, and they're only a 1.5-point favorite on the road. Means they could be in a dogfight tonight. Number 20, Iowa, on the road in Big Ten play, and they're an underdog. My only point is this. If you love rankings watching, LSU's about to take a jump up, assuming that they finish off their week with a win at home against Bruce Pearl and Auburn on Saturday. And that isn't something that you want to take for granted. This LSU team always makes you sweat. But if LSU can hold serve, pretty good chance. A team that's ranked number 21 right now wakes up next Monday morning as the number 15, 16 team in the country. And oh, by the way, the net rankings, NET, the new currency of measurement everybody uses to tell us just how good all of our teams around the country are. The net rankings after last night's game had LSU as the number 13 team in the country. From everything we've been told, that net rankings is supposed to most closely resemble how the NCAA tournament committee is going to seed teams. Now, does that mean if the season ended right now, conference tournaments were over right now, does that mean that LSU is a, what, a four seed? Maybe. Maybe. But just consider that conversation, because we haven't had it, I mean, I don't know, since when? Again, the early 90s, perhaps? That LSU team that went to the Final Four in 2006, I mean, they weren't a top two or three seed going into the big dance. Not even close. The LSU team in, oh, what was it? It must have been 2015. They went and lost to NC State in the first round. I mean, that was an 8-9 game. LSU hasn't been in the conversation to be a top four seed in the NC2A tournament maybe since Shaquille O'Neal was on campus. And that's the type of conversation that we're starting to have today. It's incredible. So as frustrating as the Arkansas loss was Saturday for a lot of people, that game last night, the way it started, the deficit at half, Reed hitting the snooze button for the first 20 minutes, boy, it had to be gratifying. They got into overtime and they won. And if you're scoring at home, LSU now owns OT road victories at Arkansas, at Mizzou, and at Mississippi State. Say whatever you want about Missouri and their level of play right now. Just traditionally, those are really hard places to play. In particular, Vietnam up in northern Arkansas and Stark Vegas in Mississippi. Those are hard places to play and win. And LSU basketball is doing just that. So, again, we spent some time there in the 4 o'clock hour, and we've been a lot more focused on Anthony Davis, NBA trade deadline, Ed Ogeron, National Signing Day since then. So I wanted to make sure that we doubled back. I'm glad that we did. We got more show to go. In the next half hour, Chance LeMaire going to join us. In fact, on the other side of this break, and he's going to break down the top Acadiana area basketball players and the performances that he's really admired this season. Some of the guys that Will Wade is targeting for the late signing period, and that's just tip of the iceberg stuff. We got more that we can cover with Chance LeMaire, who knows this area and knows this state. And after that, I'm going to do my best to kind of clean something up that we didn't have time for yesterday. I want to discuss a little more some of the young men and women who signed national letters of intent from this area yesterday on Wednesday. We'll try to do that before we run out of real estate today at 7 o'clock. But do not go anywhere. More show to go. You're going to love it. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. Ben Love at the Taproom River Ranch, and we'll be right back in on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
One of them is famous in Cajun country. The other has a set of pipes that never quits. Seriously, we've tried before.
Cork. Now the tape.
Together, Ben and Clint bring you home on 103.7 The Game.
Back in, ready to talk some prep hoops and a lot of recruiting. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. A little less than a half hour to go from inside the Taproom River Ranch. Our pleasure to head up now toward North Louisiana. Aboard the Ardco Equipment Hotline, he is the Prep Hoops Louisiana lead scout. Also, Bossier Parish Community College assistant coach, Chance LeMaire. How are you, Chance?
Good, Ben. Good to talk to you. Now the Super Bowl's by us. Now National Signing Day is by us. I'm talking basketball, am I right?
I think you got the right idea, my friend. And I know that you're up in North Louisiana, but I know you've spent a lot of time here in Acadiana as well, so you know the kids that are playing here. Chance, give me two, maybe three area players that have impressed you this season. They could be seniors, they could be underclassmen, but who's putting in the work?
Absolutely. The biggest guy that has had a good year so far this year is Joe Charles out at Karen Crow High School. He's a sophomore, putting up really big numbers. He's averaging 18 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists. He's been averaging 27 points a game in 5 games in district play. If I'm being honest, I thought that Karen Crow was going to take a bit of a step back this year. They lost a bunch of really good players off last year's state championship winning team. I thought that they would still be a little too young to really compete. But Joe Charles has stepped up in a huge way, and as a result, Karen Crow is right in the thick of things when it comes to going back-to-back state titles in the Class 4A. The other little bit kind of underrated kid that I'd love to talk about out of the Acadiana area is Seth Alexander over at Burbridge High School. He's a point guard. He's only about 5'8", 5'9". He's a little undersized. But he has really been able to put the ball in the hoop for him. He's averaging right at 15 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists. He is a really good shooter. But the thing that is most important as far as he is concerned is that he is leading Brobridge to a fantastic season so far this year. They are 25-5. They are top 5 seed in 4A this year. If you would have told me who's going to be the best teams in 4A out of the Acadiana area, I don't even know if I think Brobridge would have been top 5, top 7. But they're right at the top as far as power rankings go in 4A in the Acadiana area.
Look, I love that you mentioned Joe Charles as well. His recruiting is really only just starting. People knew about him last year as a freshman, had an arm injury, and missed just about all the season. But I've had a couple of their games on the broadcast, and between him, Julian Landor, and maybe the coaching, you could say Christopher Kovach, Karen Crow definitely surprising a lot of people. Our guest right now, Chance LeMaire, Prep Hoops Louisiana. All right, let's go out of this area. Tell me your, I guess, latest understanding of the two Walker High School kids. And, of course, I'm talking about Jalen Cook, a junior, Brian Thomas, a sophomore. They led Walker to a state basketball title last year. Do you think they end up as better football prospects? Where do they want to play? Tell us the latest.
As far as both of them go, if I'm being honest, I think they might both end up as better football players. I really like Jalen Cook. He's definitely the better basketball player for them. He's 6 foot. He plays a point guard spot. He has high major offers as far as basketball is concerned. In my opinion, I think he's a top 100, top 75 level kid in the country for the junior class this year. But I do think that if with him being only 6 foot and him really, he's not a hyper athlete. He's not a like go above the rim or down some crazy dunk or anything. I think that his body type is more suited towards a very successful football career. Being 6 foot, real athletic, he has great legs, great hips. He's very fluid in his motions. I think that he can be more successful on the football field. But from my understanding, it sounds like he is trending towards trying to play basketball at the next level. Now, as you and I both know, a year is a long time when it comes to recruiting. But as of right now, it sounds like Jalen Cook is more likely to play basketball at the next level. But for Brian Thomas, who's 6'4", who is a really good basketball player, who's a D1 level basketball player, but isn't necessarily a high major level D1 basketball player, I would be very surprised if he doesn't end up playing football at the next level. He's a kid. He's 6'4", super athletic, long arms. He has the potential to be a pro prospect, depending on his college situation and how he develops. But as far as Brian Thomas goes, I would be very surprised if he didn't play football at the next level.
Chance, just one quick follow-up and maybe a clarification. When it comes to Jalen Cook on the hardwood, Will Wade and Company, is that LSU interest or is there an LSU offer?
LSU offer for both sports. The staff has been down to see him 4 or 5 times this year. They are very interested in him. He's 6 foot. He can really put the ball in the basket. But that is an offer from both LSU as well as Georgetown.
Another moment or two with Chance LeMaire on 103.7 The Game. All right, I mentioned Wade, the late signing period, and I think the Tigers are going to have to make some hay there. If not, they got a lot of work to do in the transfer market, but only 2, if I'm not mistaken, in the early period, and they don't have the same star power as what Wade and company signed in 18. So, I guess, what type of onus does that leave on this late period, and who are some of the targets that people should look after?
Yeah, as far as LSU goes in the late signing period, From my understanding, they're looking to add four more players for next year's squad. Two more players to bring in a total of four for this signing class. The biggest one that they are looking at that sounds like it's going to be most likely LSU is Lesser Canones. He's a 6'5 shooting guard. He plays for IMG Academy. He's originally from New York but is now playing in Florida. He's a top 75 kid nationally, a four-star prospect, 6'5", plays a shooting guard. He has a super, super smooth game. He's a really good scorer. He can really shoot it from deep. It sounds like things are definitely trending LSU's way. He's planning on dropping his top six sometime this week, but it sounds like it's really a battle just between LSU and Maryland, but it sounds like LSU's probably going to get it done when it comes time. It sounds like he's going to be signing, or he's going to be committing to LSU pretty soon here. The other one that is still kind of a toss-up as far as LSU goes is Trenton Watford. He's a five-star kid out of Alabama, but he has a lot of different options as a five-star kid. His brother was Christian Watford, who played at Indiana a few years back. He was a big-time college basketball player at Indiana. He's from Alabama, so his dad's a really big fan of the program there and what Avery Johnson has done for the University of Alabama. Once Penny Hardaway got the job at Memphis, Memphis is a big contributor as far as what he is considering at the next level. But when it all comes down to it, I would be surprised if LSU doesn't get him. There have been three straight crystal balls on 24/7 for LSU, dating back to the start of 2019. Assistant coach at LSU, Billy Armstrong, and Watford family go way back. I would be surprised if Trenton Watford doesn't end up at LSU. But once again, it's a long time before he's signed. The other two that not a lot of people talk about is Nafali Dante, who is a 2020 prospect currently, so he's currently a junior prospect, but it sounds like he is considering reclassifying and becoming a 2019 signee. LSU is deeply involved as far as his recruitment goes. If he does decide to reclassify, from my understanding, it sounds like he will be winding up at LSU. He's a 6'10", a center, super athletic. He's a five-star kid. He would be the heir apparent to what Naj Reid has built there as far as a big man pro prospect would be. And honestly, he might be the better pro prospect between Nafali Dante and Naj Reid. I think I would take Nafali just because of his ability to affect the rim, affect shots at the rim, rebound. He's really a prototype center at the NBA level. So the last guy that LSU is really involved in is Kadeem Sy, who is another 6'10 center. He played at the Virginia Tech last season and is now playing in the junior college ranks. 6'10", super athletic, block shots, rebounds. He's definitely built in the Cavell Bigby Williams mold. Super athletic, can really affect shots at the rim. It sounds like LSU is pretty deeply involved in his recruitment. I think it'll come down between LSU and Ole Miss. The JUCO that he plays at had, I think, two guys last year signed with Ole Miss, and it sounds like things are starting to kind of trend that way. But if LSU ends up getting it done, I would not be surprised at all.
Finishing up with our guy Chance LeMaire on 103.7 The Game. And I got to tell you, Chance, I know we first met at the Cougar Dome, home of St. Thomas More basketball, a couple of years back. I've had broadcasts from there the last 2 weeks, and both games – coming down to the last few seconds. First, Karen Crow. Last week, Westgate. I'll be back there for Northside tomorrow. That is just a whale of a district, man. I mean, no nights off, and it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, none at all. St. Thomas More has put together a really solid season. They're pretty young this year, as you know, but they have done a really good job. And dating back nearly a decade now, that has been one of the toughest, if not the toughest, district when it comes to 4A.
All right, before we let you go, tell the folks what's going on. Prep Hoops Louisiana, the latest when it comes to rankings in this state, the profiles, and just how much they can get for such an affordable rate.
Yeah, we updated the 2019 rankings last week. That was our first update so far this season. There was a lot of movement around a new player popped into the top five, which happens pretty rarely at this level of the recruitment. But Hunter Dean of North Shore was able to move into the top five, 6'9", super bouncy. I think he has high major type potential with his skill set. So we were able to update the 2019 rankings last week. And coming up next week, we're planning on updating the 2020 rankings. I think there's going to be a lot of shakeup, including a new player who's going to be taking the top spot when it comes to the 2020 class in Louisiana.
Chance, this is always a lot of fun. Continued success up there in Bossier, and we'll be following Prep Hoops Louisiana. Thank you, my friend.
For sure. Thanks, Ben. I appreciate it.
Chance LeMaire. And it was just a couple of years ago. I'm almost certain at the Sunkist Shootout. Probably leading into a game where somebody played against Robert Williams of North Caddo. Why do I mention that today? Because the latest rumblings, the Celtics could end up with a trade that includes Robert Williams to the New Orleans Pelicans as part of this massive Anthony Davis deal. It's funny how things work out. All right, we are going to take our final break of the show. When we return, I'm going to do my best to touch on some of the NLIs that were signed, faxed in yesterday from area boys and girls. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, hanging out, having fun at the Tap Room River Ranch on 103.7 The Game.
Football season can't come fast enough.
No.
Are we there yet?
No.
Are we there yet?
No.
Are we there yet?
You little...
Luckily, you have Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love to help get you by.
Ten minutes to 7 o'clock, right back into the Tap Room River Ranch. And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Phone lines open. You can respond to everything you just heard from Chance LeMaire or any of our topics du jour. Anthony Davis staying with the Pelicans. Nico Mirotic out to the Milwaukee Bucks, and all kinds of insanity fallout from National Signing Day, including CD. Why don't we just go ahead and play that drop one more time? Somebody said they want this as their ringtone. This was Ogeron's response when asked yesterday, is there an A-meet problem in LSU? All right, I guess that train's a little bit late.
We did the recruiting the right way.
I will never understand, nor will I believe, that the computer froze up, but it is what it is. Now, I will get to what I promised, and again, I'm going to do my best to cover some ground that maybe we didn't yesterday. But National Signing Day has come and gone, and in Acadiana, a number of local boys and girls were able to sign on the dotted line. And I do want to give some credit here to our guy Seth Lewis. Does a great job at KATC. But aside from covering the Billy Napier presser with me yesterday, dude was everywhere. And some of the pictures are fantastic. So, again, credit to Seth. Works his butt off, and his Twitter account, at Seth Lewis, Inc., I-N-C. But Seth went out to Lafayette High. Wide receiver Kanan Leon is heading to Louisiana College. So congratulations go out there. You had two young men from Acadiana High football who signed national letters of intent. Defensive back Latrell Charles heading to Tyler Junior College, while Braden Carrier is going to Louisiana College as well. Over at St. Martinville, you had three young men from the football side who signed NLIs. Running back Travian Benjamin signed with Southern University in Baton Rouge, and he was a beast on the gridiron this year. And linebacker Marcus Cormier, as well as wide receiver Marcavon Williams, are joining the Raging Cajuns as preferred walk-ons. So, again, more local flair heading to play for Billy Napier and the Raging Cajuns. And then there's some of what we were able to share with you yesterday. Over at Karen Crow, Deontay Dew Allen, going to be another local player from Acadiana that's going up 49 to play at Louisiana College. Cody Alfred, a defensive back to CMP Prep. Kyron Como, a tight end to Pierce College. And then two of the Golden Bears to Antelope Valley College, quarterback Austin Bro. And then running back, defensive back, return man, jack of all trades, in Artrell Marks. And so we'll continue as best we can to go down the line here, because a whole lot of people signing on the dotted line. I'm doing my best to get to St. Thomas More, and here we go. From the land of the Cougars, and we've got the males and the co-eds here. Landon Burton is going to play UL football as a preferred walk-on, as is Dalen Cambry. Gregory Matuk, cousin of Mikey Matuk, and he's been committed there for quite some time, is going to Hammond to play for Southeastern football. Burke Matthews is going to Mesabi Range College to play football. James Segrest to Harding University football. And congratulations go out to Meredith Abair, who's going to UL, and she's going to run cross-country and track for the Cajuns. So really, really cool stuff there. And a few more that we could pass along as well. We gave this yesterday, but again, shout-out to my guy. And boy, I like to think I work hard, but man, Eric Mouton's out there working it. I believe we're going to have him on tomorrow's show. And, of course, that's the head basketball coach at Ascension Episcopal, athletic director. And I saw him last night at the Cajun Dome doing a really, really good job as a color analyst for Dan McDonald on some of the TV production of Cajun basketball. But he sent me releases from their four of the Blue Gators that signed on the dotted line. And you've got two young men, two young ladies here. Sean Michael Brady, a right-handed pitcher in this class of 2019, is a McNeese signee. Pretty cool. A year ago, had a record of 5-0, allowed only 22 hits and struck out 43. So Sean Michael Brady going to play down I-10, McNeese baseball. Austin Arsenault, a catcher, and probably a backstop for a lot of Sean Michael Brady's games, is heading to Neosho County Community College in the state of Kansas. And then the two young ladies who signed yesterday, Hannah Matke, going to play volleyball at Millsaps College and has played on the varsity since she was a freshman for the Blue Gators. Finally, Sophia Boatwright, women's tennis, is going to play at Belmont Abbey in Belmont, North Carolina. According to this release, she was a key contributor on the Blue Gators' first ever tennis state championships. And yeah, she's been a member of now four straight state championship teams for the Blue Gators. She was the team MVP back in 2015. Yeah, she's been doing this for quite some time. So I promised you yesterday and earlier in today's show I would do a deeper dive. That's what you just had. Our hats are off to all of you. The journey's just beginning. Keep balling. Hopefully we'll have you on B2BS at your new dig sooner than later. Now this is the portion of the show where I thank everyone who's made this program great. Hunt Palmer, beginning our new weekly segment, talking LSU baseball at 4:30, lit the place on fire. Jeff Horchek from 5 until 5:30, incredible insight into what's going on in New Orleans, Baton Rouge, and then even a little bit in our backyard here in Lafayette. And you should be watching him on KLFY if you're not. One of our callers today, T, he watches him all the time. That's the way to do it, T. I also want to tip the cap to Chance LeMaire, Prep Hoops Louisiana, our guest in the last segment. Whew. I'll take a breath. That was 3 hours of fun. Hope you enjoyed it as well. Ben Love here at the Tap Room River Ranch, getting ready for the live music from 8 until 11, where the fun will continue. And the famous Clint D, he has joined us from the 237 Roof Studios. We're signing off for now. Tomorrow, I'll be live from the Cougar Dome one more time. I'm going there in advance of Northside at STM. And we have a great guest list planned that includes James Moran, Eric Mouton, and cross your fingers, Will Wade. The fun will start tomorrow at 4 o'clock. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports, signing off today on 103.7 The Game.
From the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.